All right, so we don't have too much time left here, but I do want to dive into our predictions. We're just going to go pretty quickly through these games and just give our thoughts. I'm already 0-1 for the week. I picked Miami yesterday, and that did not work out well. So I'm going to put a nice big X on that. Boom, done. 0-1. Let's keep it going.
Well, I had the Bengals, again, minus even 3.5 points I thought they'd cover it. I'm surprised you went against younger brother Joe Burrow.
Well, you know, I'm 0-3 in fantasy football. I'm not doing well. It's been a tough start to the season. So anyways, let's jump into it. First matchup we're going to talk about or predict, Minnesota at New Orleans. I don't think New Orleans can play offense. So reluctantly, I'm going to go with Minnesota, especially since this is not a primetime game.
No, it's at 9:30 in the morning, right? Because they're playing overseas.
Technically is a primetime game, but maybe overseas across the pond is a little bit more suitable for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, is Kirk Cousins like the old guy that functions best early in the morning? Although it's going to be like 3:30 or 2:30 most of the time in England.
I'm picking the Vikings because of the Saints, not because of the Vikings, okay?
True, yeah. I'll go with the Saints here. They've got a good defense, and I think it's kind of a weird game, and somehow they'll force a couple turnovers. So I'll go with the Saints just to be different.
All right, Cleveland at Atlanta. I would like to pick Atlanta here, but I think Cleveland, I don't know. I think Cleveland pulls it off in a pretty sloppy game. So give me the Browns on the road.
I'll go with Atlanta. They've been competitive in their games. They've got a win. I'll go with Atlanta. So many of these teams after Sunday are going to be 2-2, so these would be two of them. So I'll go with Atlanta.
Next, we have the Chargers at Houston. By all accounts, I guess Justin Herbert should be playing. They're in for a struggle of a season. They've had some injuries, but against Houston, I'm going to take my third straight road team. I guess give me the Chargers.
Yeah, I like the Chargers too. They've got to win this game. One and three start would be disastrous for them. Yeah, especially now that Bosa's out for a long period of time, and also their All-Pro left tackle Rashawn Slater is out for the season. So they've got to get hopping here.
Next, we have Seattle at Detroit. Look, Detroit can score points, and I think they do it in this game. So here's my first home pick of the day, and I'm going to take the Lions.
The energetic coaching matchup of Pete Carroll against Dan Campbell. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, yes. that is true. It's going to be quite a lot of energy on those sidelines. New York Jets at Steelers. I took the Steelers. I mean, it's not like I can change my mind. It's right here on the sheet. But reluctantly, I took the Steelers. But, you know, one of these teams have to win, right? Right?
Unless it's a tie. I mean, the Steelers did tie a game last year, right? So it could be a tie. I'm going to go with the Jets. It seems like every other week they play a pretty good game. So I'll go with the Jets in a mild upset.
All right, Jacksonville at Philadelphia, an intriguing matchup to say the least. I'm picking Philadelphia, but I do think Jacksonville is going to put up one hell of a matchup because I do think that they've turned the corner this season and they're not last year's Jaguars, let's put it that way. So give me Philadelphia, but I like this matchup a lot and I think it could go either way.
Big revenge spot, right, for Doug Peterson, fired by the Eagles a couple years ago, and now he's back with Jacksonville, proving he can coach. He's turning that franchise around. But I do like the Eagles. I think, you know, top to bottom, they look like the most complete team in football. Again, we're just entering October.
Next, we have the Bears heading to the Meadowlands. Is that what they still call it, the Meadowlands? I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, that's what I know it as. Chicago, the Bears are going to lose because they physically cannot move the ball forward. They have like 230-some-odd passing yards through the first 3 weeks, which is, I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. It's really, really funny. Like, it's not even like sad. It's like funny to me. Like, I'm like, wow. Okay. So give me the Giants in this one because I do like what the Giants can do.
I like the Giants too. Didn't Patrick Mahomes have like more yards than that in the first quarter against Tampa a couple of years ago in the regular season? Remember, like
Tyreek Hill 205
yards receiving. Yeah, so the Bears, which trust me,
I know Chiefs fans have been hanging on to that the last couple of days. That's come back out to the woodwork because that was the last time that they were fairly officiated, John.
That's right. That's true. It's been all against the Chiefs because obviously the league doesn't want one of its biggest stars playing into the playoffs and Patrick Mahomes because it wouldn't behoove them. I'll take the Giants here because this is one of my big key wins. because I have the Giants over 7 for the season. So if they get to 3-1, I'll be in good shape. Give me the Giants.
All right, next we have Buffalo at Baltimore. Another very intriguing matchup. And I was tempted to take Baltimore here, but I do think the Bills kind of bounce back after last week's kind of, I don't know, sloppy loss. I don't know how you want to put it down in Miami, but I think Buffalo wins this game just because, again, at the end of the day, I'm not quite sold. I just don't trust the Ravens defense, so I think that's unfortunately going to get the best of them. Give me Buffalo in this one.
I like Buffalo too, but it has to be a blowout because the Bills have lost 8 straight one-score games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just either blow teams out or lose close games. That's not a good model, but give me Buffalo. I can't see them starting 2-2.
Yeah, Tennessee at Indy. Indy obviously getting that big win over the Chiefs. I took Tennessee because I do think that they're a better team, but both teams are very, very flawed in my opinion, and it really wouldn't shock me if Indy pulled this off at home. But I will go with Tennessee, and Colts fans, you can thank me later when the Colts win this game.
Yeah, I'll go with the Titans as well. But again, you know what's interesting, Ian? 9 of the 14 games remaining, the point spread is a field goal or less.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a week where, like, every game is a flip of coin. I'll take the Titans in this matchup.
All right, next we have Washington at Dallas, a battle of the NFC East. I took Washington. I mean, Dallas obviously has surprised me a little bit here, but Washington's such a hot and cold team that it's like, I mean, they do some things really well, and then they do things that are so puzzling. It's kind of like their quarterback, who at times looks great, but, you know, then is always kind of due for a boneheaded mistake. Give me Washington.
I agree with you on this. Again, I think it would be great if every team after Sunday essentially was 2-2. So Washington would leave both of these teams at 2-2. Give me the Commanders.
All right, next we have Arizona at Carolina. Another stink fest, in my opinion, but we'll see what happens. Give me, I'll take the Cardinals in this one reluctantly, because as much as I don't like the Cardinals, I like the Panthers a whole hell of a lot less. I just don't think they're that great. So give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals. Kyler Murray over Baker Mayfield, matchup of former Oklahoma Sooners.
Oh, yeah. Next we have Denver at Las Vegas. The Raiders have to win, right? And kind of to your point, I got to give you credit for this, because you were kind of talking about this all off season, where, you know, the Raiders won so many one score games last year. They're 0-3 this season in one score games. So the law of averages have caught up a bit to the Raiders. But my campaign and agenda against Russell Wilson and the Broncos continues. And I will take the Raiders, because I'm anticipating yet again another nationally televised game next week with Russell Wilson. And I ask why. Why are you doing this to us so early? So give me the Raiders in this one.
I think Colin Coward set the national TV schedule. He's Russell Wilson's biggest fan.
Oh, man.
I like the Raiders in this game. Again, they were 4-0 in overtime games last year. They've already lost one overtime game this year. They were outscored last year, somehow made the playoffs. Those things have a tendency of evening out from year to year. But I love the Raiders. I think they get their first win. They're the only winless team in football.
Yeah.
I think they win on Sunday.
New England at Green Bay. There was a time. There was a time, John. This would be a marquee matchup. Not so much now. We don't even know if Mac Jones is going to play, although he's trying to. Although I'm going to say probably he won't be out there. Is this a Matt Flynn revenge game? Remember? Ooh. Backup Matt Flynn came in, throws 6 touchdowns? No, I don't think so. I do think Green Bay wins this one. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, because, you know, I do think Green Bay is a better team, but we both have expressed concerns about their offense, and if you know, Patriots are certainly a team that's capable of really shutting them down. So I think Green Bay wins, but I think it's going to be very, very low-scoring.
Green Bay's gone under in their first 3 games this year, and I foresee them going under quite a bit because their defense is really good. Even when they're off, they kind of have a bend, don't break mentality, and their offense is struggling. But I like the Packers in this game, and I just want to see how long Bill Belichick and Aaron Rodgers embrace after the game, because those two guys have an absolute love fest with each other, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's all centered around Tom Brady, right? Like, I think Belichick, because of his, you know, whatever, with Tom Brady, he's looking at Aaron Rodgers, go, I could have won 9 Super Bowls with that guy.
No, I don't agree. No, I don't agree with that.
Oh, and Aaron, I know. I set you off. I set you off. But I think Aaron Rodgers looks at. I think he looks at Bill Belichick and said, "I had Mike McCarthy, and I got this guy LaFleur who looks like a GQ model. If I had had Belichick, I'd have 8 Super Bowls myself." I think they're gonna like make out at midfield after the game.
No, well, look, I do think that obviously there is a ton of respect, but I mean, again, I don't think. Like, you have a different view of how, like, I don't think Belichick is childish and petty like that, and I don't think that the fractured relationship, and I'm using air quotes, between the two, Brady and Belichick, was certainly anywhere near what it has been portrayed. So I will have to disagree emphatically with that. But we'll save that discussion for another day, possibly the off season, possibly a time where we don't have a lot or more picks to get to, including this next game, which is Kansas City at Tampa Bay. And I emphasize at Tampa Bay because, you know, fortunately, this area, the Tampa area, was not hit as hard as it was down south here in Miami from Hurricane Me. But which again, you know, the league and the city, you know, I found it funny that the only segment of fans that were upset about the game staying in Tampa were people who lived in Missouri, which, again, I understand why, because they were hoping to get the game moved out of Tampa. But the reality of it is power was not lost. The area was relatively unscathed. And, you know, there's a lot of positives to actually playing the game. Obviously, 3 days after the hurricane hit, you know, which is also a factor in this decision. So, Tampa's going to be a lot more healthy in offense. I mean, we at least know Mike Evans will be back, and I think he could have made a difference, I would imagine, in their loss to the Packers. So I like Tampa in this game. I don't know what it is. I think they're going to get up for this game against the Chiefs, who, you know, I know everyone's, you know, Patrick Mahomes, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Well, 5 of those came in week 1, and 4 of which were, you know, one was an underhand toss. Like, let's pump the brakes. This offense is struggling, okay? The Chiefs' offense is struggling, and quite frankly, they have not adjusted to life without Tyreek Hill. And this is something we said. Doesn't mean that they can't. Doesn't mean it won't happen over time. But right now, they miss him. And we saw it last week. They missed him. And I think they're going to miss him this week against a very good defense and what I think is a very good offense, save for, again, just missing people. So give me the Buccaneers at home in this one.
I'll just be different. Again, there's so many flip-of-coin games this week. I'll go with the Chiefs here. I do remember in 1985, we had a pretty devastating hurricane in September of 85. So you weren't even born yet, right?
No. That was a year before my time. I was still...
there you go.
I was on my way. I was coming.
You were a thought. I can't remember the name of the hurricane, but it hit the area on a Friday.
Yeah.
It was pretty severe. And the Patriots played a home game that Sunday against the Raiders. There was never talk of moving the game. It was just a different time. I mean, like, remember Ed Rendell, the former governor of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. who was like all up in arms that they were going to delay a game because of snow. He goes, "Oh my God, the Chinese people are laughing at us. We're not tough anymore. We can't even make it to a football game in the snow." He sounded like the angry old guy, but sometimes, you know, I could see where he was coming from. Well, but this is going to be a hell of a game, I think. But maybe another low scoring game, because that's kind of what Tampa's doing now, right? They got their defense is excellent, their offense is struggling, but Evans coming back is big for Brady without question.
Well, again, my whole thing, and I'll keep railing on this until they change it. They have to change their play calling. They have to put more on Brady's arm and less on the running game because it's just not effective. But yeah, look, I mean, the only people complaining about the game not being moved are Chiefs fans. And I say that very right. confidently because it's literally the only people I saw out there. And it's all, you know, it's very transparent why. Move it to Minnesota. Okay. What is that to? Oh, it takes the game out of Tampa. It takes away a home game from a city that obviously desperately needs that tax revenue right now. You're talking about one of your marquee games. You're just going to take away a home game. I saw people. It's like, right. it'll make up for the Super Bowl. What? Like, Tampa earned that right. Like, they weren't given a home game. They had to win to get there. So, again, the only people making a fuss about this are a small segment of Chiefs fans, because there are a lot of really great, engaging Chiefs fans out there, and certainly ones that know the long history of the team. But, again, just like any fan base, there is a very loud, vocal minority that seem to think that the Chiefs are the most screwed over team ever, and you know they only lose because of penalties and this, that, and the other. And this was another case of catering to Tom Brady by keeping the Bucs home game an actual home game like it was originally scheduled. So whatever. That's going to do it. That's it. That's Sunday Night Football. So we're going to say goodbye for the day and say happy, you know, have a great weekend. Enjoy football. And hopefully, hopefully we get a lot of great games here coming up this weekend. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we will talk to you later.